This morning, I wasn't around for quite a while. I am feeling a bit poorly. You can pray for me. Thank you. And you can say ours. That's fine. And I got up and I came through to the house and I was minding my own business. Everything was going fine. I was quite happily minding my own business. And suddenly, rather rudely, I was interrupted. And I was interrupted and I thought, what's going on? Someone just completely and utterly just cut right across everything that was going on. And luckily, because I am the speaker, that means I must be aware of what's going on a little bit more. I suddenly realised that this was God. And God just sort of like popped up and sat next to me. And it was quite late, and as I said, I'm feeling poorly. There's more rather than less R's, guys, okay? So, and God just went, do you want some breakfast? Can I get you a drink? And I sat down on the dining room, I thought, wow. And this man, he just stopped everything he was doing. He was running around for about 20 minutes just to put me first. And in that action, in the way of doing that, God's kingdom was being put back together, like the Garden of Eden. Not because I ended up with some nice food, but because that person decided not to keep to his own agenda, but to look to actually taking care of someone else, which in this case was me. And during the day, as I've stood and as I've watched and I've been aware, I've realised that over and over again, God's kingdom, God's great, God's perfect, God's good, God's amazing, God's shalom has started to come back together here at Letton. Some of you have talked to people you don't want to. Some of you have smiled at people. Some of you have helped people. You've held a door open. You've done something you don't want to do. You have created part of God's kingdom, God's mission. You have been part of God's mission today. God's mission is being accomplished over and over and over again. And we miss it. We miss it. We just think, oh, that's good. Oh, that's nice. And we don't realize that the Garden of Eden, that place of perfection, that place of shalom, where everything was just great, actually we have a part to play to make sure that happens. This was one of my slides from yesterday, and I like it so much I put it in today because it all messed up yesterday, so I put it back in. So just to remind us a little bit about yesterday, we are not just people who do missions for God, but God himself is a missionary God, and we have the immense privilege in being incorporated into and involved in the mission of God. The little mark at the beginning, the little mark at the end means I didn't say that. It's in a book which is about that fat, which makes me very clever. If you want to know what the book is later, I can tell you. But we don't just do mission, as I was saying yesterday. Yesterday was about God doesn't just do missions here and do a mission there and do a mission there. God is on mission the whole time. He's always about bringing back his kingdom, his purposes. And he wants us to be always about it, every single moment of every single day. So, we have our blobs. We have doors. Yesterday I asked you, how are you feeling? First day at Letton. I want you to really look at my blobs and I want you to decide, have you changed? Do you feel like a different blob today? If you take the doors to represent nature and perhaps animals, some of you may want to take an axe to the door. But don't do that. Okay, so has it changed? Matt? Okay, hang on. Before you ask this question, you need to come here now. Come here. But before you ask the question, okay? Matt's going to ask a question. Matt is obviously a certain personality type. I won't tell you what that is. I'll let others work that out for me. But there isn't a right and wrong answer. So Matt's going to go, well, what does this one mean and what does that one mean? Okay, that isn't the idea of blobs, okay? But he wants to know. So I wonder what he's doing. Okay, right. What's going on that one? Monsters, Inc. Okay, so the axe one and then that one. I think he's holding a box of matches in his hand. He's just burnt the door. That's tonight, the bonfire. If you move on from rather than how do you feel about Letton, and if I was to ask the question, well, how do you feel about God? Some of you may not yet have decided that you want to be a God follower. You haven't said, yes, I'm up for Christianity. But if the doors represented God, or what God wants for your life, are you desperately ready to run through and go for it? Or maybe you just want to burn it or pretend it's not there, or you're just scared or not sure. This blob diagram, they're all individuals. some of the other diagrams, perhaps you need someone to help you go through it. We're not just here, just in isolation. We'll all come from somewhere, and we're all going to go back to somewhere. And what we do in these sessions isn't just about learning some facts so we can just go, oh yeah, that's some nice facts. But you see, if God is at work in every area of our life, and he wants us to be representing him in every area of our lives, stuff at home can be quite powerful. And it might mean, at the end of this evening, just that you need to chat with someone or get someone to pray with you. As I was planning this morning and thought about which blob should we show, which one of them describes don't answer out loud, you don't have to tell anyone, which of those blobs best describes what life is like at home for you? Don't be too literal, Matt. I'm sure none of you actually live in an igloo, okay? You have to be a little bit more, let your mind go a little bit. But maybe because of the way life is at home, it's really, really hard for you to understand what it means to act God's way or God wanting to bless you. And maybe over the next few days, it'd be good to get someone to pray with you, to be able to be honest with someone, to be able to share with someone. Because those problems that we have in our homes don't just disappear. They remain. We finished with yesterday asking a very simple question. That if this God is a God who sends, is on mission, doing stuff, wanting to bring the world back to perfection, back to shalom, and he's doing all this amazing stuff, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for each one of us? How do we apply it to our lives, and what does God want us to do? It's not always easy to know the answer to what God wants us to do. But so often, everything we need to know is in the Bible. Did you know that if you twist someone's nose, it bleeds? The Bible tells me that, Proverbs 33. So next time someone says to you the Bible's not true, twist their nose, blood runs, say, you're wrong. It does. We're not going to do that one today, okay? Today, we're going to look at a different part of the Bible, which is also true, okay? The Great Commission. Some of you will have heard about the Great Commission before. A guy called Jesus said it. And if you've got your Bibles, I didn't ask you this yet, you can have a look for it. It's in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. I am going to tell you my version of it in a moment, which you won't find in your Bibles, but at least then you'll know where I am being false from, if you've looked at it in your own Bible. The Great Commission. Okay, the NIV version says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Oh, Decker's going. I was going to use Decker. Go on, if you go, that's fine. No, it'll take a while. You're busy. Bye. Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's not me. That's Jesus speaking. Jesus says to his disciples, he said, guys, go into all the world, make a load of disciples, make them follow me. The New Century Version, some of you will have the New Century Version, says it very similar, slightly differently, but is similar. So go and make followers of all people in the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you, and I will be with you always, even until the end of this age. So if we go into the world, and we are to make disciples, please stand up. Stand up. Stand up. And that's it. And I need to make you hands up together. Close your eyes. Pray. And we're going into the world and we make disciples. Read your Bible. Read, read, read. Don't stop reading. Thank you very much. And we just stand up, you two. And we are making people. Are you still praying? Good. Stand up. Okay. Old lady. Make yourself an old lady pose. That's it. Thank you very much. Old lady needs to cross the road. Look after her. Okay? And we're making disciples. We're making sure people do things that they're supposed to do. Oh, you looked away when I came towards you. That was very interesting. Everyone's looking very scared. Ah, you're not looking scared. Up you get, sir. Okay? You don't seem to be helping her. Whatever you like, you're a helper. You stopped reading. You stopped praying. Get on and pray. On your knees now. Make, thank you, arms up, praise God, arms up, 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 pray, thank you. We go into the world and we make people be disciples. Don't stop, guys, okay? Why are your arms up? His arms are up. You're praying. Pray. Oh, my days. Thank you. Brilliant. Are you feeling helped? Brilliant. What are you reading? Well done. Volunteers, you may sit down and calm down and stop praying and reading the Bible. The Message. Some people here may be reading from The Message. This is what it says in The Message. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. That seems a little bit more achievable to me. When we read the Great Commission, we can feel like, okay, we've got a job to do. It's a task. We've got to go and do it. Let's go make some disciples. Well, you're a lot of rubbish. We always feel like we fail. Here, The Message, starting to get a little bit closer. I explained yesterday that Hebrew, which is the Old Testament language, is really hard to learn. Greek is a little bit easier, but also quite hard. This, from my very little limited Greek knowledge, okay, is how I translate that verse. DB stands for Daniel Beckett, okay? TM stands for The Message. Okay, yeah, right. As you go, disciple each other. You see, God is on mission in the world. He wants to be doing it all the time, not just once in every little while we go off and do a mission. God doesn't want us every little while to go and make disciples. Daniel, go to a lesson for the weekend and make some disciples, and make them good. That isn't what God's about. The verse, the Greek, is better understood in the way of, as you live your life, as you go about every single day, disciple the people around you. Disciple one another. Help them be more like Jesus. Help each other be more like Jesus. Live in a way which shows people the kingdom. That, for me, takes away some of the guilt. That, for me, makes me feel a bit more relaxed. That, for me, feels like we might be able to do it. That actually, at this morning, about 10:30, when Richard was busy doing 100 other things, he stopped, saw that I was hungry, and he said, I'm going to stop and I'm going to make that person some food. Others of you today, as you have lived your life and discipled one another, not because it's, you know, I've got to do that because Daniel told me to, hopefully. Not because, well, everyone's watching me, so I need to do it. But as we go about our everyday simple life, we disciple each other. What does that mean? How does that work out? How do we make a difference? As you live your life, most of you, as I said, it will come from a house. In that house will perhaps be your family or the people you live with. Most of you will go to school. If you don't go to school, you probably go to work places. Sports clubs in your neighborhood, in your social media, the stuff you do online. How do you disciple people in those places? Perhaps you're in school and you think on a Sunday there's a brilliant talk, or perhaps you go to Letton Hall and there's an even better talk, and you think, oh, when I get back to school, I'm going to, from now on, I'm going to make everyone Christian. Do you know, I think we miss the point of what God wants us to be doing. When God called Israel, Old Testament, when God said to Israel, I want you to be holy. I want you to keep these 613 laws. I want you to live in this different way. I want you to make me your God. I want you to follow me and serve me. And I want you to completely love me. He didn't do it just because he was on a bit of a, I've got no friends. He didn't do it because, you know, it was like, oh, let's see what happens when I do this. This will be fun. He did it because he wanted Israel to be an example to the whole rest of the world of how to live. This is how you live. This is how you do it. How about us? How about us in our homes with our family, in our schools, in the sports clubs that we go to, in our neighborhoods, when we're online? Do people look and go, there is the Garden of Eden. That is perfection. That is love unconditional. That is something I want. That is what it's about. Most of us probably end up with quite hypocritical lives. And for those of you, perhaps older, perhaps not, but those of you who have done mission, and those of you who struggle doing mission activities, or those of you who feel like you never get anywhere with your friends, might it be daring, rude, or whatever else to say that your friends see through the 1 week, the 24 hours, the one time, the one lunchtime you give out cakes, or the one time you try and do something good. Your friends want you to be Christian each and every single day, every single moment in everything you do. In the way that you say hello in the morning, in the way that you help them if they're stuck in their homework, in the way that you comment on their Facebook, in the way that the pictures you post online, in your attitude to everything you do, they want to know, does this God really make a difference? Is it really everything? Or is it just a one-hit wonder? God is on mission all day today. God is on mission right from the very beginning, right from the Garden of Eden messing up. God said, right, guys. He was talking to the Holy Spirit and his son, having a little conversation together. Right, guys, we've got one thing to do now. We need to get this lot, this earth, back to perfection. We need to get it back to shalom. We need to show them how to do it. Let's do it. He hasn't given up yet. He wants us to be part of it. This morning, I saw a new book that's been released by one of those writers which I like to read, and it talked about how the church is going to respond in being in the place of minority. How will the church respond? We used to be in majority. We used to say that church, most people got church, most people got God. That isn't the case anymore. But just because numbers are changing or society's changing or lots of people don't know God, doesn't mean that God's given up. Doesn't mean God's gone, hard luck, let's just walk away. God is still in this. God is still saying, let's do it. God wants places where you are to be places where you understand what it is to do the mission of God. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a season, but your whole life. The places you are, God wants you to live his way. As you go, disciple each other. As you live your life, show what it is to be a Christian to the people around you. Because there isn't any other way they're going to find out. You're the people who can tell them who God is and how he wants to be with us. Some of you will have heard of missionaries. And you may have missionaries if you go to church, you may have missionaries in your church. And most of those missionaries will be people who are in a different country. And most missionaries will go somewhere where to a place that don't know about God. And the reason they don't know about God is because there's no one there to actually tell them about God. How depressed would you be that if a missionary came into your school and said, I've heard there's no one here that knows God anymore? I've looked at the statistics, I've been around, I've done some research, and no one here knows God, so I've come to be an example of God to this people group. And you think to yourself, what about me? And then maybe you'd ask yourself, that if you were put on the dock, if you were arrested, if someone said, right, you're a Christian, and then they started to get the evidence together to prove it, what would that evidence be? Come in here? Maybe, maybe not. Would there be enough evidence to convict you of your Christianity? There are places where God does want us to go. I think there is so much creativity online within social media, and perhaps you don't do social media. Perhaps you play games online. Perhaps you never go online, but those of us go online, there is lots of creativity to actually say, this is a place that I want to help people to understand who God is. In the way that I interact with people online, do I express God? When I was 13, I was in school, and a missionary had come back from Rwanda. Oh, wait for it. Had come back from Rwanda. And the reason she'd come back is because there was a civil war and she had to run for about 3 days through the jungle to get away from those people who were killing everyone. And she came back, and I was about 13, and I said to her, I said, what is a missionary? And she said, well, a missionary is someone who goes to a people group that don't know anything about God. And I said, but why do you need to go to Africa? You should come to my school. They don't know about God. And that moment, I felt God say to me, I want you to be a missionary to young people in this country. And since that moment, that's what I've tried to do. But for some of you, there may be people groups, there may be situations where God will say, I want you to go there. I want you to go to that people because they don't know God. It doesn't have to be abroad. It doesn't have to be to a scary place or a place where people are dying. But it might be. I'm going to tell you about two heroes of mine. In the time when there were many, many slave ships, 1700s, crossing the seas, two Christians decided that these slaves deserve to hear about Jesus. How do you tell slaves about Jesus? Because how am I going to get in a situation to be able to talk to the slaves? And what they did after prayer and consideration is they went and they sold their own lives as slaves. And they spent the rest of their life as slaves on slave ships, working in slave situations so they could tell all the other slaves about God. Who is it that God would say you need to go and be a slave to? What situations are there in your world that God would say, these are people that need to know about me? Because if we believe that God is the best, that God is amazing, that God is worth everything, then sometimes we have to put everything of our own agenda to one side and say, God, all for you. Everything for you. I will go into this situation and I will tell this people group about you because they deserve to know. This group of people who otherwise will not know anything about you, I will go and I will tell them about you. God is on mission. God is doing a whole load of stuff. God's mission is being accomplished each day through lots of us doing all the stuff that we do. But usually it's done by accident, by coincidence, because we're not really consciously, intentionally thinking about, God, we want your kingdom to come. We want to be like the Garden of Eden. We want it to be great, perfect, amazing, shalom. If we were to live our lives in the way the New Testament talks about, if we were to live our lives in the way Jesus told us to, if we were to put others first, people would be radically shocked, because in our society, that isn't how things happen. In a moment, we're going to continue in our worship, and we're going to have time and space to think about what God is saying to us. Who is it that God is talking to us about? You see, those two Christians who went and became slaves to win the slaves, they said, we need to become like the slaves so that the slaves can be won for Christ. We're going to think a bit more about that tomorrow. We're going to think about what it means. What language do we need to speak? How do we help people understand what the gospel message is? How do we translate what the Bible says into language that makes sense online? But them two slaves said, no matter what, I'm going to become like the slaves so that the slaves might be won. The second line there is just because, in case some of you don't come back tomorrow, and just because some of you decide that you can twist my words because you're a bit cleverer than me, it is about remaining holy. Them guys who went and sold themselves as slaves, they didn't go and do something that was wrong in the eyes of God. They still stayed holy in the eyes of God. This doesn't give us the right to go out clubbing and get ourselves rat-arsed all the time so that everyone goes, yay, look, you're like me. Yay, we can be Christians together. It's about us being able to talk to people and remaining holy. As I said, we're going to talk a bit more about that tomorrow. And we're going to think about what that looks like and how do we do that. What is the message of the gospel? But the question tonight is, who are the slaves that God would send you to? Where do you need to be doing God's mission? And then commit to pray for them people. Commit to pray unending, never stopping, completely, all the time, for those people, that they might find out about God. We're going to have quiet for a few moments. Some of you don't like quiet, I apologise. But we're going to have quiet for a few moments, and you might want to write down some names, you might write down some things. You might just sit quietly, you might put your pen and your notebook down, eyes closed. And in a few moments, band will come and start some worship, quietly to begin with, just to let us have space to think, okay? As soon as the band starts, you don't have to jump to your feet and start jumping up and down and doing worship. But just give yourself some time to reflect on what God is saying to you. Because each one of us will have somewhere different that God wants us to do mission. And each one of those places then allows more people to find out about God. So let's just sit quietly for a moment. God helping you take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. God, I pray that you would help each one of us. God, I pray that you'd help us to know those places that you want us to go and those places that you want us to live your way. God, when that scares us, I pray you'll give us the courage we need. God, for those of us who aren't even sure yet if you're alive, I pray that you will reveal yourself powerfully to us. As we worship you now, I pray that you'll meet with us, God.